like a stripper when I'm looking in the mirror. I be slapping on that ass, getting thicker and thicker.
Ooh. I don't see no.
Welcome to Black Girl Squee, where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a squee! I am your co-host, Enda, also known as Enda's Corner on Twitter.
I am your other co-host, Dee Dee, and I'm known as Dust Daughter on Twitter.
Okay, you can reach us both on Twitter at Black Girl Squee, or individually, as we just said. Our Tumblr is also blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. You can email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. You have questions, feedback, or anything like that. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, you can also leave us feedback there. You please leave us a 5-star review, as we could use the metrics. And you can also find the show at our podcast home at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. A few housekeeping notes. We have a spoiler policy, which is simply, we spoil shit. And we especially spoil How to Get Away with Murder, which may or may not be in the next couple of weeks. And we also spoil Underground on WGN. Basically, if it's a show that has strong black women leads, or strong black women characters that we like, we just may or may not spoil it. So that's your warning. And also, as another warning, we cuss a lot, and we talk about peeing.
Dick!
And as you heard earlier, we squee loud and often. Apparently, I squee louder than Dee Dee, but you can adjust your volume accordingly. All right, so... with our housekeeping notes out of the way, we can go into our squeeworthy news. And with our first item of squeeworthy news, we have quite a few items in music. You need to get your Black Girl Life with some video. You can start with the new Lizzo video for Excuse Me. If you are familiar with Lizzo, because I believe it has been our intro and outro song for maybe one or two times, she just released this video, and she and some other big women look absolutely glorious in it, just like some goddesses in green and gold. But one of them is Gabby Fresh, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
Yeah, it's funny. We just talked about her.
Yeah.
We just used Lizzo's music as an intro. I feel like this is a response to us. maybe Lizzo listens to the show. What's up, Lizzo?
Hey, Lizzo. We love you.
You're killing it, girl.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, because I thought the video for Phone was good. This was just, wow, mm-hmm. Just stepped up to a whole nother level. I believe I saw a comment on Tumblr that said she single-handedly saved 2017 with that video.
Already, yep.
Yep. So, yeah, you need to get your life. Check out that video. Another video you can check out. If you listen to the show, you may know that we love Sid, who used to be Sid the Kid on the internet. She dropped a new video called All About Me, and this is from her upcoming album, Fiend. I said Fiend on the other show because I thought it might be French, but I don't know. But anyway, that's supposed to drop on February 3rd, and really interesting video for that one there. Did you want to say anything else about the video?
I'm glad that the album's coming out soon, because I remember somebody saying that it might never come out or take forever to come out. But
because she keeps teasing us.
Hey. All right. Well, I won't name names until the album actually drops. This is very highly anticipated.
Yes.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Give it to me, Sid.
Yeah.
Also, your phone number.
Oh, speaking of Give It to Me, Sid, and teasing, she also dropped another song. There's no video for it, but if you haven't heard it.
That song is.
Go check out her song, Body.
Lord Jesus.
Sid telling
us how she's fucking these ladies. She's pulling hair and all that good shit. Mm-hmm. All right, Sid.
Yeah, so right,
you're telling me all I need to know except for that phone number.
But as you can hear, yeah, it's a great song. It's a really great song.
Slide into my DM, Sid.
Alright. But and another video, I don't imagine how you haven't seen it yet, but right after How to Get Away with Murder on Thursday, Missy dropped us a new song called I'm Better. And the video is classic Missy, complete with the best makeup job you have ever seen in your life, because she just always stay beaten. I need that black lipstick. I just need that black lipstick. So stop teasing me with this stuff. Give me the lipstick. Okay? You want to say...
Or else?
Yeah. You want to say anything about the video?
I just want to know who thought up the idea of dancing on exercise balls underwater. who said that's the shit we need to do in a video? Probably Missy. And you wild for that, Missy. You wild.
She's going to be having everybody breaking their neck trying to dance on exercise balls now.
Trying to lean and arch all on a basketball exercise ball like that and bounce and shit. It's gonna be lots of injuries. But
yeah.
Also, there's going to be a documentary.
Yes.
About her career coming out this year. So there's a teaser for it that you can find online, and we'll try to put the link in the video in the show notes.
Yes.
But it should be good, and hopefully she'll come out with an album.
Yeah,
she's been dropping these singles. And
yeah, ever since the Super Bowl. Well, mm-hmm. Super Bowl a couple of years ago, because that's the one where she just kind of came in. Like all the new kids was like, "Wait a minute, who is this?
Who's this new artist?"
I know, right? We've been new, but of course. Okay, but to all these ladies dropping these videos for us and just giving us life, we have to give a big squee! Alright.
So we also want to shout out the All Williams women final at the Australian Open that just finished this weekend. Serena won.
Yay.
And but you couldn't tell. Venus did not look defeated. She looked so proud of her little sister.
Yep.
She was smiling even bigger than Serena.
Yep.
And it was beautiful. So it was beautiful to have them in the final. And Serena is, she's most definitely the greatest of all time right now. She's the greatest living athlete right now. She's won 23 Opens. She's won 7 Australian Opens, 7 Wimbledons. Like, she's the number one tennis, women's tennis player in the world right now.
Yep.
She's the greatest living athlete alive.
Yep.
Don't talk to me about Steph Curry. Don't talk to me about even LeBron. It's Serena Williams.
Bow down. No qualifiers. She's the best.
So, to Serena and to Venus, we give them both a
squee! All right. And other squee-worthy news, a brief Golden Globes recap, because it didn't all turn out the way we wanted it to, but there was some good news on a couple of fronts. Viola Davis won Best Actress in a Supporting Role in a Motion Picture for Fences, of course. I mean, come on now. It's Viola Davis. And Tracee Ellis Ross won for Best Performance in a Television Series or a Musical or Comedy for Black-ish. And Tracy's win is a big deal because that is the first time a black woman has won that category in 34 years. And she won a Golden Globe 44 years after her mom won, I believe, for Lady Sings the Blues, right? So yep. She has joined her mom as an Emmy winner. And Golden Globes. So sorry. Yeah, she should have won the Emmy too. But,
but she wasn't nominated for the Emmy, which is confusing.
Yeah, bogus. But yeah, wish there had been more of winners. And because, you know, I think Ruth Negga was nominated. Naomi Harris was too, but she was in the same category as Viola. So,
And Octavia.
Octavia Spencer too. And now you can go ahead and go into, actually, why don't you go ahead and go into the Oscar noms recap?
Okay. There's some good shit and some fuckery first.
yeah.
My girl Taraji P. Henson got robbed.
Yo.
Which is wild. And just really, she wasn't nominated for a Golden Globe. She wasn't nominated. It's like they forgot she was in the movie, but I want to give all the nominations to Octavia Spencer. Like, she was the only one in the movie. Anyway, the good stuff. Best Ruth Negga was nominated for Best Actress in Loving. She's the only black woman in that category. Because Viola Davis is campaigning for Best Supporting Actress for Fences, even though she was the lead actress in that movie. Octavia Spencer is nominated for Hidden Figures, even though her part is not as big as Taraji's.
Wow.
I mean, she was good in it. She was great in it. She's Octavia Spencer. She's great. She was great in her role, but I think if anybody should have been honored, it should have been Taraji. Naomi Harris is nominated for Moonlight as Best Supporting Actress. Best Editing. Joy McMillan makes history as one of the first black women to be nominated in this category for Moonlight. And she's working as a mentor for other black female editors and putting their resumes out there so they can get jobs in the industry behind the scenes. Also, for Best Documentary, Ava DuVernay gets an Oscar nomination for The 13th.
Yes. So
they didn't want to nominate her Best Director for Selma, but she gets a nod for a Best Documentary a couple years later. So,
yeah. And if you haven't seen it, it's well deserved. It is on Netflix, but I will warn you, do not watch that in the dark. It's pretty deeply disturbing, and it will haunt you. It's that well done.
And you're a horror fan, aren't you?
Kinda, yeah, but this is real life horror. I mean, this is stuff that actually happened.
Yeah.
And it's still happening, and it's just all fucked up.
Yeah.
And but it's just explained so well and just done so expertly. I mean, with just so much compassion and understanding, but it's just, it just kind of hurts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I'm just really glad she got that nod, because it, like I said, it's well deserved.
Okay. So, to all of these nominees, and also to Taraji P. Henson, who should be nominated.
Yes.
But if she's there, she's gonna support Viola and Octavia and Naomi and Ruth and Joy and just everybody.
I so hope she shows up, because she will. Yeah, she will be the first one.
If they don't even invite her to the goddamn ceremony.
All right. So. Okay. Well, last weekend you may have heard some news about the Women's March that happened the day after the full inauguration. And there have been some write-ups on it. And one of them was from BuzzFeed. It's called "The Road Women Marched On This Weekend Was Paved by Black Resistance." And that was by Bim Adewunmi. I hope I said her name correctly. Okay, so in the article, she says, "We know that struggle is ugly and painful, but that it can also be beautiful and glossy. We have been consuming images of Black resistance as married to Black glamour for a long time. They form a big part of our shared Black past." She goes on to say, "I saw so many Black women at the Women's March, and each one I spoke to gave me a variant of the same answer. They were here because they had to be. To have sat it out would have been to see to a feminist movement that was all too willing to discard them when they had been the silent workhorses of the collective for so long. Invisible, ignored labor was the weekend's quiet background theme." And another thing she mentions is that she says, "It seems fair to consider this march in the continuum of American protests of the last several years. This march's success was in part made possible by the labor of earlier protesting Black bodies. Demonstrations around the intersectional Black civil rights in cities and towns across America paved the way and began preparing the way for large-scale events like this." So, as you can see, she's making sure Black women, we acknowledge Black women's place in struggles, all types of civil rights struggles and themes here, so. Definitely want to give that article a look.
Another thing to remember is that this march was originally called the Million Women's March,
mm-hmm.
which makes me think that a lot of people didn't remember the fact that Black women had already created and attended a Million Women's March. So then, after pushback from women of color, they changed it to the Women's March and added some organizers who were women of color. But even still, there were, problems of, with inclusion, and, you know, people had to talk about it. Janetta Elzey, a well-known activist, Twitter, person, wrote a poem for Teen Vogue. "Dear white women, we gotta talk about the march." And she asks a series of questions of white women. "Where were you when your ancestors set out to steal my ancestors from our homes? When they were raped African women, then refused to acknowledge their own children, who were born as a result. When Harriet was on the run fighting for freedom, where were you?" Where were you when we wanted the right to vote too? When we had to care for our families and yours, serving you dinner while struggling to put food on our own tables. When your women's movement came around and our needs were ignored, where were you? Where were you when your friends made lewd remarks about the sizes of our men's penises, objectifying them while discriminating against them? When your men fetishized our butts and our breasts, objectifying and discriminating against us? When they believed we were hypersexual and the brutalization of our bodies was okay, where were you? Where were you when the media called us thugs for protesting? Where were you when Mike Brown Jr. was killed and we took to the streets of Ferguson to honor his life? Where were you when black women had a standoff with the Ferguson Police Department? Where were you when we took to the streets every damn time and chanted Black Lives Matter?
Yep.
Where were you when we asked you to say her name? When our trans sisters, Brandi Bledsoe, Raylan Thomas, Dee Wiggum, were also murdered and also forgotten, where were you? Ooh. And finally, she ends the poem with, if you can answer at least one of the questions here, answer me this. We've been marching for years. Where the hell have all of you been?
Yep.
So, ooh. She says a lot of things that in that poem that, you know, may not get to be said in other people's articles. So
yep.
We appreciate that, Ms. Elsie.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. And well, there's also something else you should check out. It's by Tanzina Vega. She's a Latina journalist. She works, she writes for CNN, CNNmoney.com. And she wrote a piece, It's a Long Road to March for Women of Color. And she points out a lot of statistics, a lot of information about women of color suffering from a triple oppression, as she says, race, economy, and gender. Well, this is a quote from Rosa Clemente. She's a community organizer, and you also may remember that in 2008 she was a vice presidential candidate for the Green Party, the running mate of Cynthia McKinney. She continues with Clemente's quote, if white women are going to be part of the work, they're going to have to find a way to completely support women of color. So,
who have been doing the work already.
Yeah. This is, you know, the questions, and this is the questions Netta and asking, where were you? Where are you, white woman?
Where the hell have you been? If you're here now,
yep,
then you're going to have to get behind me and watch what I do.
Yep. Yeah. It's like she also says, women of color have reason to be suspicious of white women. Slightly over half of them voted for Trump compared to 25% of Latinas and 4% of black women, according to the exit polls of CNN. You just know that some of them heifers that voted for Trump were there marching, talking about being women and shit the next day. Shut the fuck up, you know. Okay, anyway. So another quote here. African American women are the most loyal voting bloc known, and they are not always taken care of. And this was from Danielle Solomon, who is the director of Progress 2050 Initiative at the Center for American Progress, which is a left-leaning think tank. And Tanzina also in here, she says, for many of us, it still seems like having it all is a concept created by white women for white women. Ooh, yeah. And she also points out that in the next few decades, women of color will be the majority of all women in the country. So
get into this intersectional feminism.
Yes.
Now, white women, while it's still cute, before it becomes necessary.
Yeah.
It's necessary now, but
yeah,
y'all don't see it.
Yeah.
Y'all think it's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all think upholding white supremacy is going to get you somewhere. And y'all, they learning. They finding out.
Yeah, it's going to get yourself no access to feminine health care.
Yep.
To gynecological health care. It's going to get you...
going to get you even less pay than what you're getting now.
Yep. Might get you, hell, booted out the country.
Ooh, child.
You know, if you're not the right kind of immigrant.
Yep, exactly.
If you aren't from one of the countries that Cheeto Head does business with.
Yeah.
Or you or your loved ones. Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, fucked up.
Yeah. So, to these insightful pieces on the Women's March, and we'll get back to momentarily, we would like to give a big squeak. All right. Okay.
I just want to say one thing.
What?
Can we change the face of homophobia, religious hypocrisy, and just general xenophobia? Can we change it from brown to white? Can we change, or orange?
Ooh, that would make sense. That would make so much sense.
I think now we need to realize. All this time you've been pointing the fingers at black people for being whatever. Mm-hmm. You've got three fingers pointing back at you.
Yep. All right. Excellent point. Okay. No, really it is. Okay. And our last item in Squeeworthy News, we want to talk about a website. It is called Noir Care. And you can find it at noircare.com, N-O-I-R-E-C-A-R-E.com. And there was an article about it in Huffington Post's Black Voices division. And it says that the site was created by a graphic designer and tech consultant, Tina Shoulders, and she says it's a digital space for black women where black women can cultivate the tools they need for practicing self-care. The intentional act of maintaining your physical and emotional well-being. Shoulders says, all of my close friends were struggling to find some me time. And so one day I did a survey and asked friends on Facebook and Twitter to tell me what they were doing for self-care. The answers from the survey actually designed this platform, which is actually quite practical because you really should design a platform according to what people want and need, right? said that the Noir Care slogan is, what have you done for you lately? It's a question that gets to the heart of the burden of being a quote-unquote strong black woman, a trope which has been harmful to many black women because they often take on the mantle of caretakers within their communities in addition to other demanding roles in society. So for Shoulders, the aim of Noir Care is to empower black women to break free from the expectation of strength so that all kinds of black women can have access to the tools of self-care. And while I think it's just a website now, it says that the future of Noir Care will include meetups, self-care workshops, and a support network where visitors can register and share resources and information with each other. As Shoulders says, we are taking over the world running on fumes right now. Imagine how powerful and strong our community will be once everyone gets intentional about taking care of themselves.
Ooh!
Yes. So, yeah.
I can't imagine because my head exploded. but that's a powerful thought.
Yes. Yeah.
What have you done for you lately? Ooh, yeah.
Okay, so for noircare.com for Tina Shoulders, we want to give a huge squeak. All right. So that article is actually a perfect segue to our main topic, Black women and self-care.
All right.
Yeah, so you may know for the past 10 days or so have been rough
We're living in a fascist nightmare.
and still got more to go. So taking care of yourself is going to be essential. I know a lot of people want to be out doing, the marches, doing the whatever it is we can to, fight the good fight. But yes, but I don't know who came up with it. If somebody knows the attribution to this, it's actually a really good way to think about it. You cannot pour from an empty cup. Yeah, so if somebody want to find me that attribution, go right ahead, because I didn't come up with that. But for our main topic, we do want to talk about some Black women who help us with our self-care, because they help us get our Black girl magic on, some ways we perform self-care, and some resources for self-care, because this is something we all definitely need today, now.
Forever.
Yes.
If we're going to resist, and there's many ways to resist,
Yeah.
I was listening to the Three Fifths podcast. Shout out to them. And they were saying it's not in everybody's lane to protest. Sometimes,
Yes.
sometimes just living and taking care of yourself and your and or your family or is the best way for you to resist, and that is your lane and stay
Yes.
in your lane.
Yeah.
Others, it's being out on the streets protesting, resisting this government, actively, and in their face.
Yeah.
Others, it's by spreading information and not misinformation, fact checking this government, and just pushing back on the bullshit they want to sell to us, and that's their lane.
Yeah.
So everybody has different lanes to resist,
Yeah.
but
As much as I,
we all need to take care of ourselves.
yeah, as much as I kind of hate to say it's for some people, quite frankly, just simply continuing to exist is an act of self-care, because some people's very existence just disturbs others. And so just saying, I'm still here, letting everybody know I'm still here, I made it another day. You done it. So, yeah.
So, and under this Cheeto Heads administration, he hates everybody that isn't like him. So if all of us can live and even flourish, I don't know how many of us will flourish, but if we can live and exist and find ways to nurture ourselves and others, that is resisting. Amen. So Queen Viola had a word on self-care, and as always, it's her words are worth listening to.
Yes.
She says, "Self-care is not a sign of weakness." A quote from an article says, "I think people forget how much we hold in as Black women, how much our health is affected by outside factors. We have a tendency to care for everyone else other than ourselves. We have a tendency to always feel like we've got to suck it in. Caring for oneself and getting care is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of what we should be doing, our basic responsibility as a human being." End quote. I love you, Viola.
Yes. Forever our queen. This is why she is forever our queen.
Okay. Caring for oneself and getting care is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of what we should be doing.
Yeah. Thing is, that's actually, that is so hard to unlearn because we've just been indoctrinated to feel the opposite. Just indoctrinated since we've been old enough to understand anything. Especially
think about why.
Yeah.
If you think about why, how patriarchy and slavery and racism have been designed to turn us into workhorses and keep us there.
Yeah.
In spite of civil rights, in spite of you know, successes in feminism, Black women are still the workhorses of the community, the caregivers, the ones, the protesters, everything.
Yep.
So this is what we should be doing, taking care of ourselves.
Yeah. All right. There's also an article in The Root called Black Women, This is What Self-Care Looks Like. I believe the author, that is Janelle Harris, and she asks lots of questions of what do we think self-care is supposed to look like, you know, like taking annual vacation. Is it leaving the babies and, you know, with a relative, going to a day spa, you know, is it therapy? But she ultimately says that self-care is still a mystery because we don't see it often enough, because we still don't do it often enough. Some of us do it inconsistently. Some of us not at all. And she quotes a young lady, Jamaica Gilmer, the need to make time for care, to care for our emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being is crucial because if we're not functioning as we should, nothing around us is functioning as it should. And yeah. So she talks a bit about the beautiful project that's based in Durham, North Carolina. It's a nonprofit there. They've launched an online exhibit called The Self-Care Exhibit, a word and image act of self-preservation and political warfare. Yeah, they took that directly from Audre Lorde. Her words, I don't know if she says self-care or self-preservation. I think she says self-preservation is an act of political warfare. And so, just a reminder that we need to take care of ourselves and don't let this world fucking eat us alive, you know. But yeah, you can, like I said, you can find this article on The Root by Janelle Harris, and definitely check it out. And you can find links to the exhibit there also. If you want to see some different examples of what self-care looks like, because sometimes you just really do need to see it and kind of like what, to figure out what's going to work for you, because self-care is going to look different for everyone.
The next article I read is by Yvette Dion, and she's actually done more than one article on Black women and self-care. So she must have a lot of thoughts and feelings about the subject. But this one is called For Black Women, Self-Care is a Radical Act. And you know, like most of these articles, when it comes to Black women and self-care, they're going to quote a lot of Audre Lorde. But this article also says, navigating a racist, sexist, homophobic, and classist world is harmful for Black women. Lessening the impact of oppression is an impossible task, but centering our needs and desires allows Black women to exact some semblance of pleasure in our lives. And, yeah, like Inda said, it's hard to unlearn the messages that we constantly get that we don't deserve to be centered, that our needs don't deserve to be centered, and that we don't deserve pleasure. So unlearning that is one of the first steps toward practicing self-care. Also, the article has quotes from several researchers, Dr. Shanisha Brooks Tatum says, it's subversive to take care of ourselves because for centuries, Black women worldwide have been taking care of others, from the children of slave masters to those of business executives, and often serving today as primary caregivers for the elderly, as home health workers and nursing home employees. The author of the article says, self-care is listening to what your body tells you and honoring what it needs at the time. And that Black women are entitled to moments of sunshine after spending centuries shrouded in the bleakness of enslavement. So, that is one of the articles she has written about self-care. Yeah, the next one is also by Yvette Dion, called The Self-Care Revolution. In it, she says, there's a good reason for the sudden and ascending interest in self-care. For the first time, women are ready to put their emotional, mental, and physical health first. Another researcher, Robin Boylorn, who's also part of the Crunk Feminista Collective, says that women are learning and understanding that it is okay to do the necessary, to do the things necessary for personal well-being. It is unfortunately a novel concept, but feminist communities, I think, are at the forefront of recognizing the unnecessary and unfair burden put on women to always be oriented toward other people, sacrificing their own desires and needs. Deidre Cooper Owens, another PhD, says, Black women have to care about themselves because it becomes detrimental to the community when they don't, in very specific ways. We have to think about part of our self-care process as becoming a political act, a collective act. In the article, the author talks to Jace Haar, a transgender man, who also has a flowchart for those who have trouble practicing self-care, which is basically called, you know, what to do when you feel like shit, an interactive self-care guide.
Well, hey.
Yeah, hey, sometimes you need it.
Yep.
It's helpful. And he says, self-care becomes extra important when your needs aren't being met by the dominant culture. As a transgender person, I think that not having a specific space where you can be yourself, whether you're out or not, is really important. He says, I think that having a specific place where you can be yourself, whether you're out or not, is really important.
Yeah.
Self-care looks different for everyone. It can be a bubble bath, having sex, or retail therapy.
Mm-hmm. See, no, please say that again.
Which one?
The last sentence.
What Jace said?
Yeah.
Oh. Self-care looks different for everyone, which is what you were saying before. It can be a bubble bath, having sex, or retail therapy. Sid, hit me up for a number.
No, I just wanted to hear that again because people think these things are trivial. Because, look, not everybody has, you know, the resources to go off jet setting around the world or whatnot. And sometimes
go to a day spa and shit.
Yeah. But also sometimes, I mean, even if you know, you are poor, sometimes you just need to get yourself something nice and just remember that you have, that you can enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to reemphasize that, 'cause this is something I have to tell myself all the time. 'Cause if I'm just having really, really bad, you know, having a really bad day, having, you know, just a rough time, I have to talk myself into, okay, so if I go and buy a donut, I'm not, you know, fucking myself up.
Yeah, people want to begrudge poor people
Yeah.
the right to have things. Like, we
Yes.
don't deserve nice things,
Yeah.
or we don't deserve to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of person are you?
Yeah, it's like somebody was saying, like, yup, they people be talking about, oh, you going to the movies, but you ain't got no, money for rent. And like they said, what is rent $12?
Yeah. Oh man. Anyway,
Yeah.
Deidre Cooper Owens, PhD, set, continues to say, "Self-care is really a process. It needs to be ongoing. It needs to be thoughtful. It needs to be intentional. You're working for liberation. You're working for joy." So I just, yeah, I just want to, I one thing that I found in common for a lot of these articles was that they're all saying, oh, you have to take care of yourself so you'll have enough energy to take care of others. But what if we took that last bit out of the equation? Like, do we always have to, be filling up the well so we can pour it out on others, or can we just do it for us? Does it have to, does it, 'cause if you're just doing that to, if you're just taking care of yourself so you can continue to take care of others, isn't that still focused on everybody but yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
You're just using yourself as like a means to the end of serving other people. And I don't know. So it just seems like, I don't, it just rubs me on the wrong way when we talk about self-care like that.
So there's a short article called 5 Tips to Self-Care Every Black Woman Needs. And there's a little more detail here, but just quickly, these are the five that are listed, in the article. One, check in on your well-being, which means, sleep, eat healthy food, etc. Two, cut out negativity. Three, find support from peers. I cannot emphasize enough how important that is. And I learned that the hard way. Four, accept vulnerabilities. Also something I've learned the hard way. And five, embrace authentic self. So, like I said, that list and the more details about what that means is at the dinnertabledoc.com. And they don't, I don't see a name of a writer here, but sure, we can put a link in. Oh, written by Lydia Abraha. I hope I said your name correctly, because these are all, they seem simple, but you would be surprised at how difficult this can be, like I said, once we've been indoctrinated.
Another article from Color Lines is 4 self-care resources for days when the world is terrible.
Like every day.
And this is just a list of links to other bloggers of color, other quilt bag bloggers, and they give their self-care tips. Also, a story from Fusion.net is basically a bunch of women of color giving their self-care tips, how what they did to cope right after the re election results were reported. And some people, they hit the ganja pretty hard. Whatever. And shit, if I could do that, I would be too.
Edibles.
I don't know about all that stuff, but some of them watched YouTube clips of black women winning awards.
Oh, wow.
And that was like,
Yeah.
I didn't think about that before, but I could see how that would help. That would definitely make me feel better.
Yeah.
Like watching Lupita's speech at the Oscars, watching any of Viola's speech.
Yeah, watching Taraji give Viola that hug, Viola that hug after, you know, Viola won that Emmy. I still tear up.
That's good stuff. That's good. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Writing with no purpose, watching black stand-up comedy. A blogger has a survival archive tag on Tumblr, with a bunch of posts and ideas for just getting through the rough days. This is basically just a bunch of articles that I basically Googled black women in self-care because I really didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
I don't know of many people who are like known for talking about specifically black women and self-care. So I just turned to Google, my only friend. and these are the top results that I got.
Before we end it, I just want to, because I was looking at one of these other ones that's got the links, and it says something that I think a lot of the times we kind of just forget when we talk about self-care, is that sometimes it's the most basic things, like maybe it's not the extras. And so it said the things that you need to ask yourself, you know, before giving up, like seriously, are you hydrated? Have you eaten in the past 3 hours? Have you showered in the past day? And if it's daytime, are you dressed? Just things like that, because these things are actually difficult for a lot of people. They really are. And so, like, these are some real legit questions you need to ask yourself. Like, have I just done the basic things that I need to just live?
I know sometimes when I'm doing bad, I'll skip meals. And when, you know, there's days when I just don't feel the energy.
Yeah.
And I have to and people have to basically nag me to go and get something to eat. which goes back to, you know, support from your peers. It's good that I have somebody like Enda to tell me, take your black ass out there and go get you something to eat.
Get food. Sustain yourself.
I'm saying, yeah, because it's real. And and Cheeto Heads America is, we gotta keep up. It's gonna be even harder to do the simple things because this barrage of bullshit gets you down.
Yes.
So that's why I was running to the Google. Google, give me some help here. I definitely need to develop a foolproof, ironclad self-care plan.
Yes.
Because this first week has put me through it.
It's just been a week.
It's been a week and I'm tired as hell.
Child.
And I'm not even on the front line.
No. Imagine being, oh my gosh. Lord. I'm just like, wow.
Imagine being somebody like Janetta Elzey, or like, I want to know what her self-care plan is.
I know. Like,
because I know she has to have one. I hope she has one.
I know, right? So, I mean, it's just,
like, how does she get through? So, we could talk all day. So, what is your plan? Do you have a plan? What do you do for self-care?
Well, I just did something today because, like I said, I don't have like lots of resources and stuff. And yesterday was just tough and scary. Cause y'all know the, protests at the, airports and things. And like, this is already our country. And so, I started thinking about today, what can I do with what I resources I don't have, and what can I do? I started on a Black feminist apocalypse dystopian survival syllabus.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm getting together resources, audio resources like podcasts, blogs and websites, fiction and nonfiction, some film and television, and just some like zines and stuff for self-care and healing, and putting them all in resource so we can have all of these things to go to. Because it's been real, but it's getting even realer now. And so I'm going to have to find some things like urban farming, self-defense, you know, making clothes and fabrics and things like that, you know, water sources and things, you know, places that we can find resources that center people with disabilities and first aid and all of these things and medical care and things like that. So, because we all need to know where we can go when, you know, shit gets real. And so we need our survival sources. And so I'm hoping people will add to this syllabus and help us find all of the resources we can get that we're going to need. So that's been my self-care today.
Ooh, Lord. Well, bless your life and hit us with that link when you, I need that shit. Also, I hope we on it. Are we on the podcast list?
No.
What?
I'm like I said, I'm just gotten started. I want people to add to it.
But how you not gonna start with us? Okay, this is an offline conversation, but thank you for the self-care tips. I'll be looking for that link to the syllabus. Also, blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm, add it to the list. Let's see, what do I do for self-care?
You watch trash TV, don't you?
Define trash. I read trash books.
Well, yeah.
That
works too.
Smut fan fiction.
Ooh.
Hey, keeps me going.
Yeah.
I have people, people like you to remind me to eat. That's about it. I don't do anything. I don't do anything involving money because it's not a thing I have. Candles. I like candles.
Yeah, candles and incense are awesome.
Yeah. Tea.
Mm.
Tea has been big part of my self-care right now because my throat is sore. I'm trying to come down with something. Music, always.
Oh, yeah, I make playlists.
Like, Well, you make playlists for yourself and others, so. You need to make that a Patreon level.
Oh yeah.
Do this and I'll make you a playlist based on your musical taste or whatever. Music, trash. What do you mean by trash TV?
Well, technically, like How to Get Away with Murder is kind of trash TV. It's high quality trash. No, really. I mean, it's well acted, well written, stuff like that, but it's just so out there. It is just so out there.
And I think I'm behind. I haven't seen the last.
But I think technically, though, trash TV would be kind of like more like reality shows and stuff like that that you just know is just supposed to be scraping by a little barrel for entertainment. And, you know, some people enjoy that. And, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't watch that stuff. I don't have cable.
Yeah, me either. I don't. But one of my favorites though was Snapped.
Oh my! About the serial killers?
Yeah.
You scared me.
That show was addictive.
Mm.
But it's like a lot of it is really kind of tragic though too, because an overwhelming number of it is like women who were abused or something, and they just wanted their husbands to stop, you know, beating them. And that's why they ended up killing them or something like that. So, but then you have these other ones, like women, they kill, you know, men for their money and stuff like that. And you'll see who can and can't get away with, you know, murder, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's just, wow. it's that's high quality trash right there.
You would probably be interested in true crime podcasts.
I might.
You might like them.
Yeah.
Somebody else is trying to get me to listen to them. Yeah, and I've been, yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if they're my cup of tea, but, you know, they are obviously popular with other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not really much of a plan. Not really. It's scattered.
But also with me,
that's what I do.
Making this podcast is also self-care for me.
How so?
Well, one, I do enjoy talking to you, ma'am.
I do.
And two, it's all about Black women being awesome. So you just have to look and remember, like, wow, you still have this one here doing this, another one here doing that, and this one here is making music, and this one over here is modeling, and it's just, you know, we find so many good things, like women who are in politics and sports and entertainment and all of all kind, and they're just doing all this awesome shit, and it makes me happy.
And it's kind of like, it's kind of a, like you were saying before, it's kind of a way of resisting.
Yeah.
I mean, by showing all of these Black girls doing awesome shit,
yeah,
in this fucked up society,
yeah,
and they're still shining,
still excelling,
you know, doing the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like the Williams sisters.
Yes,
they, you know, just them existing,
they just get so,
and dominating.
Oh, just so much bullshit thrown at them, and look at them.
And when they're, you know, at the Australian Open,
yeah,
winning the top prizes and smiling at each other, I mean, that's a big fuck you to all of these people that don't believe in them and want to and say this ugly, terrible, racist shit at them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. I get that.
Yeah.
So put us on the syllabus. Anyway. If you're listening out there, hit us up. Let us know what you do for self-care. I would love to know. This is a topic I could talk about for years. And we'll probably have to until this fool gets impeached.
Yeah, because it's going to happen.
It better happen, because I don't know how much more I can take. And so please hit us up at Black Girl Squee on Twitter, blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. Hit us up on iTunes, anywhere. Let us know what you do for self-care. Let us know your thoughts, tips, tricks, what have you. Please do get in touch with us. And that is all for our main topic. We got a lot of stuff to talk about in Catch the Fade. I don't know how much time you want to spend on all of this, but...
Well, we kind of did a bit of a Catch the Fade on the first one, so that shouldn't take long.
Okay. All right. So, white feminism at the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Okay, so, well, I'm just going to first start off saying it was really good seeing that turnout, because I was just glad people showed up and showed out, because like I said, there were tens of times more people at these marches in each city than there was at the inauguration, because nobody fucking showed up for that. But listen, when you do a women's march, you need to have it in mind that it's going to be inclusive of all women. And in that, also with that, it also needs to be inclusive of people who may look femme or identify, you know, with femininity, but may not have been assigned that at birth, or maybe they were, but they identify as non-binary or agender, but they still have to deal with the fallout of what it means to look like a woman. It needs to include them, all of us, okay? So, like you were saying earlier with the pussy hats, that is so cis normative. Okay, I understand that old dude said, you know, grab women by the pussy, but you know what? You ain't got to fall down that, you know, line and be like, oh, you know, pussy grabs back. And I'm like, not all women have one, okay? Not all women have one. And you know what? They get treated fucking worse than you do.
Thank you.
All right. So, no, there's nothing funny about sexual assault. But you know what? You know what's also not fun? Watching trans women get murdered at an epically high rate. And you don't
And nobody's saying shit you. About it.
Thank you. Okay? And, oh my, that was one of the things. Also, this march was not accessible to everyone. I did see that there were people, you know, there who used wheelchairs, you know, there and all, but not everybody who wanted to support me and all that could be there. What did you do to make this stuff accessible to them? You know, I saw that there were some video taken, you know, I see that, but, you know, did you make everything accessible to them? And if they could not be here, did you find a way to bring their voices into it?
Yeah, I mean, I read an article that you know, went through the platform for the Women's March and noted all these places where disability could have been mentioned and it wasn't. So it wasn't even really integrated into the platform for the march.
And also, white women, white cisgender women, when women who have other intersecting marginalities talk, do not cut their mics. They fucking cut Raquel Willis's mic.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck were you thinking?
But they let Scarlett Johansson speak as long as she wanted.
What the fuck? Did you cut Madonna's
and
mic?
Scarlett was talking about some shit like, I want to support you, but I have to know that you support me.
Fuck you. Fuck you all the way. Oh, see,
I don't want to support him. He's never going to support me. The fuck you talking about? That's some white shit nonsense.
Well, you can't really expect much from her. Hell, she still won't admit that she's fucking taking roles from Asian women.
But we got to listen to her talk because she's fucking Black Widow? And you're going to cut Raquel Willis's mic?
Ugh.
That's when you know you're on some bullshit.
Oh, God. Just like you.
When they were chanting in the middle of Janet Mock's speech,
yeah.
She only spoke for like 4 minutes.
Listen to what the fuck she said.
To what the fuck she has to say.
Thank you. She is one of the foremost well-known trans activists. Now, just listen to what the fuck she says. She does not need your feedback. Okay? She knows what the fuck she's talking about.
And then you have others co-opting the Black Power Fist and who aren't black. And then there's an account of indigenous women being harassed by white women at the march. And
which is, oh, God, that was awful. Child. And I saw a Tumblr post, all of these women taking Beyonce lyrics from stuff like Formation and all of that. And none of the women holding these signs with the Beyonce lyrics,
black.
Yeah, they were all white. I think they were all white. And I'm like, so you want to co-opt our words and shit, stuff that was meant for us, but you want to ignore the sign that says, I'll be seeing some of you nice white ladies at the next Black Lives Matter march, right? You want to ignore that? Because, you know.
Or the people that had the charts showing the voting patterns.
Ooh, they tried to step right by.
Yeah, or all the people that reminded y'all. No, 53% of y'all voted for Trump.
Oh, the signs like,
and or 94% of us
black women tried to voted for them. Black women tried to warn you, tried to help you.
Mm-hmm.
94% of.
Yeah, all of those signs were divisive.
Thank you. Like no.
See, this is why this is.
See, talk to the white woman standing next to you and ask her, did she vote? Who did she vote for? Because that was divisive. She chose fucking white supremacy over her womanhood.
Over her own fucking human interests.
Exactly.
And definitely over the interests of anybody else.
Exactly.
Any other marginal. So, your vote said fuck you. So, fuck you too. Just... This is why nobody trusts y'all.
Yep.
We can't trust you.
Oh, man. Still.
And yeah, we're going to represent at the Women's March, but we're going to also remind you all about yourselves.
Exactly.
And why we can't trust you. And if you're going to be mad and call that divisive, you just going to have to be mad.
Yep. No.
If you're mad at the truth, go over there with Cheeto Head and them alternative facts.
Please. Alternative.
And stay from and get the fuck from around
please.
Me.
Please. Please.
So yeah, I'm glad I didn't go.
I don't like people that much, no way. But man.
Yeah.
I came here, you know, where I'm, because one, it is a college town, you know, I wanted to be in a college town, but it's like the more I stayed here, just the more I cannot stand white liberals. Oh God, the phoniest motherfuckers on the planet. Cause let me tell you, if you live in like the most progressive city, you know, in the state, and it is the best place in the country to raise white children, but the worst place in the country to raise black children. What does that say about you?
You know, you're just like all these other white folks that don't care about anybody but themselves and people that like you. White liberals, the Democrats ain't doing shit right now to resist.
Nope.
The Democrats in Congress, they ain't doing shit.
So stop caping for them.
Please vote these motherfuckers out
all
next year.
All of them.
All of them. There's like 400 seats up next year. Let's vacate all them shits.
Yeah. Challenge within your own party. Don't just pick somebody just because they've been there before. You think an incumbent is going.
And don't say you don't want to be the party of opposition. They've been the party of opposition for the past 8 years. Yep. Have a spine. Get one. Yeah, white liberals, black moderates, all of y'all are getting on my nerves. Because y'all don't want to do shit and want to hit me with these bullshit excuses about why you don't want to do shit. Oh, we have to go high when they go low.
No, we don't. It's like,
no, that's how y'all lost. That's how y'all lost the election.
Look,
that's how we're going to steadily lose our rights if you keep up with
look,
this bullshit.
My girl Deanna had the best response to that. When they go low, we go high. She said, no, when they go low, that's the perfect opportunity to give a knee to the face. Oh. Yes.
Because, I mean, if we had
put, if people knew, if it was in people's faces 24/7, how shady this guy was, how many conflicts of interest, how many sexual assaults he's alleged to have done, all of this stuff. If we were getting that in our ears constantly 24/7, like we were hearing about this woman's emails.
Thank you.
Maybe we would be in a different place right now.
See, that's why y'all sitting there on Twitter. Look, I voted for you. Don't take away my health care. I'm like, what did you think? That's what he said he would do. That is exactly what he said he would do. What the fuck were you thinking?
They weren't thinking anything because they didn't know that Obamacare and the Affordable Rights, the Affordable Care Act were the same thing.
Ugh.
They didn't know. I was told by AppleCare that they were different.
This is why you need to go look up shit on your own. This is what you get for trusting Fox News.
Basically.
You know, the only thing I'm mad about is now so many other people got to suffer with your ass. That's the only thing I'm mad about.
That's the thing. If y'all were the only ones hurting for your really poor choices, this would be great. But you're taking the rest of the country down.
Thank
with you.
Exactly.
And this is why, fuck y'all.
I mean, just this.
Each and every person that voted for this motherfucker. I mean, fuck like, y'all.
See, I was just looking at a lot of, like, the people I care about, and I know, looking at how disheartened they were, just how they just had no hope of what was going to happen after the election, and I'm like, imagine being them, okay? If I'm just sitting here like, okay, you know, one of my trans friends is just having a complete meltdown because he doesn't know what's going to happen to him, and then just start scrambling to get, you know, top surgery. So, you know, he can, you know, I guess, quote unquote, pass, you know, as a cis male. So he's not harmed. Imagine having that happen to you and you not giving a shit.
Imagine not knowing if you're going to be able to get your meds.
Thank you.
As a trans person.
Hell. Imagine not being able to get, like, the, you know, reproductive health care you need. For any reason. Because somebody else decided, you know, it's unethical or whatever. You're killing babies. Fuck y'all.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, there's that. On top of that, in more white women, this is why we don't trust you.
Oh, God.
Carolyn Bryant. A historian named Timothy Tyson interviewed Carolyn Bryant for a book that's coming out. She is the woman at the center of the Emmett Till case, the white woman that lied about Emmett Till making advances and whistling at her. That led to his violent, brutal death at age 14.
Yeah.
However many, what is this? 60 years later?
Like 62.
60 years later, she admits she lied. She admits that didn't happen.
She had a child murdered for nothing because he was murdered.
And she says she feels a tender sorrow, but she doesn't apologize. She only felt a tender sorrow after her own son died. After living what I assume is a much longer life than Emmett Till did
You had a 14-year-old child killed for nothing.
Over a lie. For what? Why did you lie? I wonder if the historian even asked why she
lied. From what I know, probably
was. Was she feeling pressure?
Because they said that, probably not, because they said that that article was totally sympathetic to her.
Yeah, it did call her beautiful. and, definitely tried to humanize her instead of making her look like the villain that most black people see her as. Why did she lie? Was she feeling pressured? Why would somebody lie about a stranger whistling at them or something like, or making advances that they didn't make? We have to get into the pathology of racism. This is some sick shit that you would tell a lie like this that led to someone's death. You were protected all of these years and kept away from the media, and I don't think did anybody even know your name until now?
Girl.
And now she wants to come out with this shit when she's lived a long life. Emmett Till and his mother are gone. They've both passed away. And now you want to speak up? I mean, ask any black person that knows about this case. They already know she lied.
Yep, exactly.
So what are you doing?
It's not like she's going to catch a murder charge like she should, because she was complicit.
Why did she lie? I'm sorry, I'm stuck on that, but I guess it doesn't matter, but yeah, this is why we can't trust y'all. Even after the fact, y'all are still trying to humanize her and make us see her side of it. I can't see her side of it. She caused a 14-year-old child's death. A child. Because of some sickness she has. So yeah. Fuck her life. Fuck her whole family. And here's to a painful death.
Yeah.
Chrisette Michelle.
Oh, Lord. Chrisette. Oh, Chrisette, has it really come to this?
You tried it.
And just kept digging deeper. It's almost comical.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not even going to be, I don't even know. I mean, there is a double standard because everybody's talking about boycotting her and not buying her next record. You weren't going to do that anyway. You'd forgotten about her until this came up. But, people are still bumping Kanye. Yep. People are still watching the Steve Harvey show. They're still listening to him on the radio. He's still got all of these shows and books and shit, and none of that has dried up for him. But
hell,
Chrisette Michelle has already lost money from Spike Lee and everything like that. So you see this double standard for black men and black women in the spotlight. They're so willing to forgive and give black men second and third and fifth chances, and who knows how many lost count in the case of Kanye, but Chrisette Michelle is done with this one fuck up.
Yeah.
And it is a fuck up.
It was
and,
a health.
She's making it worse by trying to explain it.
Oh my God.
Like, at this point, I would rather just hear her say, girl, I need it.
Thank
check.
You.
And I would be like, fine. All right, girl. Fine.
Exactly. Because we all have to take that job we don't want. But like this says, she just tried to make it sound like she done had this call from God or something. And, she's the chosen one to build the bridge.
She's going
to
be a bridge between
like,
you.
Girl, Just say you needed the publicity, you needed the money. I would accept all of that because you know what? It's true. We all got to get paid. You just should have said that and left it. Because you know what? Black people would have left her ass alone if she had just said that.
That's all I really got to say.
But she just went on like she's being persecuted and then wrote that horrible ass poem and then did it in spoken word. Girl. Talking about I'm no political genius. Well, no, you're not. But girl, you ain't a poet either. I mean, girl, it was just so terrible bad. It was. I'm just like, Michelle, what you doing? I mean, Chrisette, Michelle, what you doing? And I mean, admittedly, I kind of, you know, hadn't really listened much to it since her first album either, because it's, but still, all you had to do was say, look, I needed this, okay? It's just like, I'm like a D-list R&B star.
Y'all ain't been buying exactly. My records.
So I needed to do something, okay? And I'd have just been like, you know what, fine, go ahead. You get your check. You ain't got you ain't got like this huge gay following like Jennifer Holliday, who apparently came at her with pitchforks because I don't know why it took the gay community, which I'm thinking she perceives as white, and not, you know, and her being black wasn't enough to make her decline. But hey, I don't know either. But still, I mean, and it's like thing is, Chrisette, I really do hope you got paid, because Donald Trump is notorious for not paying people. Okay? So I hope you ain't play yourself for nothing.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway. Yeah. So catch a fade. Everybody can get it.
Okay. All right. Me? Oh, yeah. It's me today. Okay, so that was Catch the Fade. And so we move on to our really, really fun segment, This Week in That Print. And so this week's contestant or nominee, you may have heard his name recently. His name is Andre Holland. Mm-hmm. 37 years old from Bessemer, Alabama. Really? I thought he was British.
Mm-mm.
Lord, I thought he was British.
And I think he's a Sag. December 28th?
No, that's Capricorn.
Oh, really? Oh.
No, that's too late, December.
Oh.
That's okay, though. I'll forgive him. I'll forgive him for being a Capricorn. I was almost a Capricorn, Andre. Yeah, first saw him in the Cinemax show, The Nick, where he played the only black doctor at, you know, the Knickerbocker Hospital. And I haven't finished that show.
So is he British?
No, but for some reason I thought he was. I guess because he had a British wife. Spoiler alert, because his wife comes back and she's a British lady. And so I don't know. I just thought he was British. Okay, anyway, he's been in The Nick. He's been in Selma, 42. And most recently, he's in Moonlight. And from what I'm seeing of his role in that, I really have to see this. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. Oh my God, he's kind of beautiful, y'all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Likes around the right age, 42. Yeah, you know, just a nice looking dude and a nice voice. I still thought he was British. Like, but that's okay though. He's Southern. Mm. All right. Yep. That's a Southern man right there.
He went to Florida State University.
All right, Andre.
That's all right. I mean, why be Seminole when you could be a Gator? But anyway. he attended Florida State University and also received a Master's of Fine Arts from New York University in 2006.
Ooh,
so he trained. Yeah. He's seriously classically trained out this bitch. So, he's also going to be in Ava DuVernay's Unforgiven Time. So he's booked. Oh, yeah. He's booked. So, and he's gotten nominated for so many awards, from different critic societies and stuff like that, and the Gotham Independent Film Award for Best Ensemble Performance. So yeah, he's been a part of the awards circuit really hard for Moonlight, and hopefully, you know, we'll see him at the Oscars.
Yes, yeah, him in a tux is that man.
Lord, and standing next to Trevante,
standing
Lord,
next to
Jesus
him.
Christ.
I hope he stands next to Marshalla too.
No, I can't take. That's too much. That's too much.
It was some fine ass black
men.
It was some fine ass black men in this show, in this movie.
Yes, it was.
Lord,
listen,
they are just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they all stood next to each other, I think my ovaries will be
swept. Yeah, some.
So for my self-care, I'm going to need them to keep their distance. But yeah, they fine as fuck.
And so talented. So
that too. But also, just really, really fun to look at.
Yeah. Andre just has this natural swagger too.
Yeah, he does. He's perfect. He was a perfect choice to play Kevin because he has that, that je ne sais quoi about him, you know?
He just commands attention. So. Just by showing up.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. He was perfect for that role. So, wonderful choice for DWIDP. And wonderful. So now, unless you have more to say about the lovely Mr. Holland, we must get into the Womanist Vocab.
No. If you single Andre, call me. Okay. Womanist Vocab.
IMDASCORNER. As in, she wants you to get all up in her DMs.
Okay.
Andre.
So, for Womanist Vocab, I'm just going to reemphasize our theme today, self-care. Self-care includes any intentional methods taken to preserve emotional, mental, and physical health. Audre Lorde touted the importance of self-care. Quote, caring for myself is not self-indulgent, it is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare. End quote.
Ooh. Yes! Ooh. Not self-indulgent. Yes, Miss Audre. Yes. Finally, Black Girl Commandments, you deserve care. You deserve to put yourself first.
Yes. Please remember this in the coming days, weeks, months, years. Please remember this.
Even when he's out, once he's impeached, you still deserve care. You still deserve to put yourself first. Yes.
All right, so that is going to be our show today. You can contact us at Black Girl Squee. You can contact us individually at Indus Corner and at Dust Daughter. Once again, our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. You can email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. If you want to contact us in any way, tell us about your methods of self-care or give us any type of information about self-care that you think might be pertinent or useful, and we'll distribute it. And you can also find us on iTunes. Please subscribe there and rate us and give us a review, because we can use the metrics, of course. And find us at Simplecast, blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. And so thank you so much for joining us again. And until next time, bye.
I don't need a
Bye. To know that I'm a queen. I don't need a crown. To know that I'm a queen.
Ace is the kid. My phone number is 2025.
Call her, Sid. She needs you to.
Please. All right. Let me stop there before I give her my social security number.
Could be giving this woman your social security, your passwords.
What type? Yeah. What you need?
This song is awesome, though. It's
body.
I was sitting there listening, so I was like, "Damn."
Oh. I was like, "Okay, Sid. Okay." I was not aware. I was not aware, but now I am.
Voice to use. I'm like, okay. Hi.
Hey. Ain't that? She be telling us how she be pulling these hoes. That's what she doing.
See,
Tell me about it, Sid. Tell me what you do.
Drinking your glass. You drinking it fast. I'm watching you dance. You watching my hands, throw it back, babe.
Throw it back.
Give it to me, don't hold back, babe.
I won't.
If your friends could see you right now.
What they gonna say?
If they wanna be you right now.
Hey.
Your body's taking over you. Your body's taking over you.
Hey.
Maybe if we can take it slow.
Hey. What?
Don't let go.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear your body when I pull your hair.
Mm.
What's my name?
Sid.
Girl,